Hey folks, thanks for being a member of the Cafe Insider community. In addition to the Cafe Insider podcast and my weekly note, you also get bonus material from my interviews on Stay Tuned with Preet. This is exclusively for you. Hope you enjoy it. How is justice being accomplished, sort of the day-to-day machinery of justice, court proceedings, trials, investigative interviews, cops on the beat? How is all that happening while we're at stay at home?
You know, was an amazing process, Preet. Your former office has gone through the same thing. To a certain degree, we did not have the majority of our workforce working from home and remotely. But because of the tragic situation in New York with coronavirus, within 2 or 3 weeks, we had essentially moved the entire office out of the office to their houses, and they were operating remotely on any given day. Right now, there are 1,100 to 1,200 Manhattan DA employees, assistants, and professional staff who are accessing our internal computer network to work on their cases and to get things done. So I would say 95 to 96% of our office, I have roughly 600 lawyers, roughly 800 staff, somewhere in those numbers, about 95 to 96 or 7% of those people are now at home. And the staff, lawyers, and otherwise are working remotely. The court system, we are an essential service, so we are always open. But the degree to which we are sending people into to manage cases is dependent upon sort of the court functions. So whereas—
Can I ask an example? So suppose, you know, this morning there was someone who was caught robbing a bank. That person would be brought to court because there's a judge on duty. And would that person have all the regular timely proceedings in connection with his case or not?
That person would be arraigned. The case would be written up before arraignment remotely. The individual, if detained, would be in Rikers Island. His lawyer would be on another screen, another place in the screen. The prosecutor would be in another place in the screen, and the judge would be in another place in the screen, and the court reporter. And so these proceedings are now being done virtually, including preliminary hearings, which we have started to conduct last week. The governor has issued 2 executive orders related to timelines in the criminal justice process. The last order required us, in order to safeguard the rights of those folks who were held in on bail, to hold a preliminary hearing in lieu of a grand jury presentation, because we don't have grand jurors, we don't have petit jurors, and we may not get them for 3 to 6 months. So there'll be some judicial review of the charges, which is in the shape of preliminary hearings for folks who are held in jail. That's done remotely. We may bring a witness or the police officer to our office, because that's perhaps the best way to facilitate gathering the information to present remotely to the court. But at the end of the day, there's some people who, you know, I have to really thank. And I really have to thank the men and women who day by day show up to keep our offices clean, safe, to clean up after it, make sure the areas are sanitized after people have left, get the mail out. And then the overwhelming majority of assistants who are at home working hard from home and being very, very productive, I might add. We've initiated hundreds of new investigations by our investigation division and trial division. And so we changed our way of doing business. And as hard as it was to get us out of the office and be remote, it's going to be much harder for us to get back in.
And do you think there will actually be criminal trials done remotely?
I don't. The answer is anything's possible.
I just wonder, you know, I haven't practiced your kind of law in a bit, and we don't have to discuss it, but I wonder what argument a defendant might have if they don't waive an argument that it's not a fully fair trial consistent with the Constitution.
Well, I believe there was a federal case recently. Was there a federal case recently, Preet? Maybe in your district?
I don't read all the cases anymore. I read some. I'll read, because that's something that may be worth talking about on the podcast. You know, it's a very important principle when there's a court proceeding relating to a criminal defendant in federal court. And I believe it's of constitutional dimension, that the defendant has the absolute right to be present in the courtroom, that it is not sufficient unless he waives it to participate in the proceeding by telephone or remotely. This is not in circumstances of pandemic, but when everyone else is in the courtroom, there is something that is deemed material about the ability to confer. I mean, how are these defendants conferring with counsel during a proceeding, separately?
They have an opportunity. They connect before the proceeding remotely.
And then can have a second connection because, you know, as you and I know, and you know better because you were a criminal defense lawyer for a long time, you also want to be able to sort of pause in the proceeding and say, Your Honor, may I consult with my lawyer, may I consult with my client? That's a little bit harder on Zoom, I guess.
It's harder, but it's being done. I think the concerns around remote grand juries and juries are significant. Judges and are always, every time a juror leaves the courtroom, they're reminded, you know, not to talk to anybody, not to read anything. And if you're hearing all this stuff remotely in your home, you don't know whether, you know, a friend walks in while you're at home and is looking at the screen and makes a comment. It's just when you're home and you're on your own and on your honor, it may be difficult for jurors to perform the kind of intense focus, distractionless that they give to the case when they're in court. And grand jurors, there are security concerns about whether or not secret material, which is being talked about in the grand jury context, is going to end up being shared with others in the House, or whether there is an opportunity for potentially folks having access to the names of grand jurors or to provide, you know, some kind of interference with their process. But I think I'll tell you what our big problem is, Preet, and if I can just cut to the chase on this, is we have a couple of hundred cases that are stealing custody after the epidemic started, arrested and stealing custody. But we've got about 1,200 cases that are out of custody, and that entire universe has yet to be indicted, and they all have to be indicted. So when this pandemic ends, it is going to be enormously hard, and I think Justice DeFiore is up to the task, but it's going to be enormously hard to be able to create the flow and number of grand jury parts and court parts to start processing cases that have been backed up.
It's going to be quite a big mess. Thank you again for becoming a member of Cafe Insider. Listen to the Cafe Insider podcast every Tuesday with Ann Milgram and me, and stay tuned every Thursday.